जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरीवर धारी। यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरा वनचारी यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरीवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरीवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरा वनचारी यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओके हरे कृष्ण। वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 4 एंटाइटल्ड द इनकार्नेशंस ऑफ गॉडहेड वर्स नंबर 8 फॉर डिस्कशन टुडे। विज्ञाय शक्र कृतम अक्रमम आदिदेवा
प्राह प्रहस्य गत विस्मये जमानान् मा भैर्विभो मदन मारुत देव वधो ग्रीणीत नो बलिम शून्यमिमं कुरुध्वम् विज्ञाय शक्रकृतम क्रमम आदिदेवा प्राह प्रहस्य गत विस्मये जमानान् मा भैर्विभो मदन मारुत देव वध्वो ग्रीणीत नो बलिम शून्यम इमं कुरुध्वम् विज्ञाय शक्रकृतम क्रमम आदिदेवा प्राह प्रहस्य कत विस्मये जमानान् मा भैर्विभो मदन मारुत देव वध्वो ग्रीणीत नो बलिम शून्यमिमं कुरुध्वम् मदन मारुत देव वध्वो ग्रीणीत नो बलिम शून्यमिमं कुरुध्वम् विज्ञाय शक्रकृतम क्रमम आदिदेवा प्राह प्रहस्य गत विस्मये जमानान् मा भैर्विभो मदन मारुत देव वध्वो ग्रीणीत नो बलिम शून्यमिमं कुरुध्वम् विज्ञाय शक्रकृतम क्रममादिदेव प्राह प्रहस्य गत विस्मये जमानान् मा भैर्विभो मदन मारुत देव वध्वो ग्रीणीत नो बलिम शून्यमिमं कुरुध्वम् माताजीस् विज्ञाय शक्रकृतम क्रमम आदिदेव प्राह प्रहस्य गत विस्मये जमानान् मा भैर्विभो मदन मारुत देव वध्वो ग्रीणीत नो बलिम शून्यमिमं कुरुध्वम् वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन Translation and purport by the humble disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Vigyaya, understanding perfectly. Shakra, by Indra. Kritam, committed. Akramam, the offense. Adideva, the original personality of Godhead. Praha, he spoke. Prahasya, laughing. Gatavismaya, free from pride. Ejamanan, to those who were trembling. Ma bhai, please have no fear. Vibho, O mighty one. Madana, Cupid. Maruta,
ओ गॉड ऑफ द विंड देव वध्व ओ वाइव्स ऑफ द डेमिगॉड्स घृणीत प्लीज एक्सेप्ट नह फ्रॉम अस बलिम दीज गिफ्ट्स अशून्यम नॉट एम्प्टी इमम दिस आश्रम कुरुध्वम प्लीज मेक ट्रांसलेशन द प्राइमेवल लॉर्ड अंडरस्टैंडिंग द ऑफेंस कमिटेड बाय इंद्र डिड नॉट बिकम प्राउड इंस्टेड ही स्पोक लाफिंगली एज फॉलोज टू क्यूपिड एंड हिज फॉलोअर्स हु वर ट्रेम्बलिंग बिफोर हिम दिस कोट डू नॉट फियर ओ माइटी मदन ओ विंड गॉड एंड वाइव्स ऑफ द डेमिगॉड्स रैदर प्लीज एक्सेप्ट दीज गिफ्ट्स आई एम ऑफरिंग यू एंड काइंडली सैंक्टिफाई माई आश्रम बाय योर प्रेजेंस परपोर्ट द वर्ड गत विस्मय और फ्री फ्रॉम फॉल्स प्राइड इज वेरी सिग्निफिकेंट इफ वन बिकम्स प्राउड बाय परफॉर्मिंग सीवियर पेनेंसेस सच पेनेंसेस आर कंसिडर्ड मटीरियल वन शुड नॉट थिंक आई एम ए ग्रेट ऑस्टियर पर्सनैलिटी श्री नर नारायण कुड इमीजिएटली अंडरस्टैंड द फुलिशनेस ऑफ इंद्र एंड दस ही वॉज अम्यूज्ड बाय द होल सिचुएशन क्यूपिड एंड द हेवनली विमेन अंडरस्टैंडिंग देयर ग्रेट ऑफेंस वेर ट्रेम्बलिंग बिफोर नर नारायण इन फियर ऑफ रिसीविंग अ पावरफुल कर्स बट द लॉर्ड एग्जिबिटिंग मोस्ट सबलाइम सेंटली बिहेवियर रीअश्योर्ड देम बाय सेइंग मा भाई डोंट वरी अबाउट इट and actually offered them nice prasadam and articles of worship. It was as if he was speaking, if you do not give me the opportunity to act as a host to the demigods and other respectable personalities, what will be the use of my ashram? My ashram will be void without the opportunity to receive respectable personalities such as you. Similarly, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is establishing beautiful centers in all the major cities of the world. In some of these centers, such as those in Los Angeles, Bombay, London, Paris, and Melbourne, the society has established very gorgeous preaching ashrams. But the Vaishnavas who live in these beautiful buildings feel that the buildings are void if guests do not come to hear about Krishna and chant his holy name. Thus, one may establish a beautiful ashram not for one's personal sense gratification, but to execute Krishna consciousness peacefully and also encourage others to take to Krishna consciousness. ओम अज्ञान तिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकम् वंदेहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातां सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च
पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण। वी सीक द ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ ऑल द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज बिफोर वी कैन स्पीक ऑन श्रीमद् भागवतम 11th कैंटो। इन दिस करंट पास्ट टाइम वी आर सीइंग हाउ सम वेरी ट्रस्टेड सर्वेंट्स ऑफ द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड, एम्पावर्ड एडमिनिस्ट्रेटर्स ऑफ मटीरियल अफेयर्स, समहाउ दे फॉरगेट what is the relationship with the Supreme Lord. And here it seems they even try to tempt him into very sensual activities. So obviously they have forgotten the position of the Supreme Lord, that he is beyond the three modes. He cannot be affected by Raja and Tama, in fact not even by Sattva, because he is beyond Sattva, he is Shuddha Sattva. But still, because of inability to understand his position, here it seems they try to tempt Nar Narayana Rishi and considered them as if they are also interested in sensual activities, just like the demigods themselves are. So there is a relationship between any master and his servants, and this relationship is based on two activities: the activities of the servant towards the master and the activities of the master towards the servant. So in this world, typically, how do these two kinds of activities happen? Let's talk about the master. Usually in this world, when there is a relationship, the master ends up always asserting his authority. He always has to tell it repeatedly, "Do you know, I am your master." In trying to do so, sometimes he is even accused of restricting the freedom of his servant. He is a servant, but then he also has his own independence, God-given independence. But then, somehow that's what happens. And sometimes this restriction or this assertion can become so strong that the servant can also feel, he's almost strangulating me. He's almost caught me by my jugular. What about the behavior of the servant then? Oh, the servant is complaining about exploitation. But what about the behavior of the master, behavior of the servant? The servant is also very, very rebellious. He is somebody who is always trying to cut corners. Sometimes he is arrogant in trying to reply to his master. So the defect is both ways. It's not one way. So what does Prahlad Maharaj speak about this relationship between a master and a servant? He's speaking, a master is not a master who has to please his servant every time to get things done. No, a true master just speaks, this is to be done. And he does not have to butter up his servant. And what about the servant? He says, a true servant does not want anything in return from the master. So this is something that is directly in contrast with the behavior in a relationship of a servant and a master that we see in this world. What about the servant-master relationship in the spiritual world? We'll first talk about the master. The master in the spiritual world is the Supreme Lord.
And because right now we are discussing with the demigods, although this is not in the spiritual world, but we'll see this relationship. So if you see the relationship of the Supreme Lord and his servants, the demigods, does the Supreme Lord ever try to assert his authority? Does he send reminders regularly to the demigods? Don't forget who I am. No, never. It is only when the demigods are in severe trouble, when they are attacked by demons, when they are totally perplexed what to do, then they go and approach the Supreme Lord, and that is the time when the Supreme Lord will say, okay, now you have come to me, I'll give you the solution. He never tries to assert his authority. Does he ever try to restrict the demigods? Never. So demigods, you know, keep committing these kind of mistakes, but the Supreme Lord, he never restricts them, he never exploits them, in fact, he never even reminds them. It is only when they are faced with a problem that they get reminded from somewhere inside. Now, what about the activities of a servant in this world? The activities of the demigods are mentioned in this pastime. What is that? They totally forgot how to behave with the master. They are seeing him on their platform. So, although we would want ideal master behavior from our master, but here we can understand, if the servant does not behave like a good servant, then sometimes the freedom that is given by the master is exploited. So many times in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we see how the demigods, including Indra, here it is mentioned even wind god, Vayu. In South India, if we speak of this, there will be a big issue. Even Lord Shiva, even Lord Brahma, many times they forget their relationship with the Supreme Lord and they end up misbehaving with the Supreme Lord. So it seems in this world, when freedom is given, it is mostly, often, exploited by the servants. And here we see how the demigods are doing wayward behavior. They're crossing their limits. They're showing apsaras and all that to the Supreme Lord, who is beyond all this. So, because we are discussing about master and servant, and here we saw how the master is behaving properly, even within the material world, he behaves in an ideal way, but the servants are not behaving in a proper way. So, what is the essential quality of a servant? What is it that, if it is there in a servant, qualifies him to be called a servant? If this quality is not there in the servant, then he cannot be called a servant. What is the essential quality of water? Transparency? Sometimes it may not be transparent. Hot? No. Cold? No. We can say there is a natural quality of water to be liquid. Sometimes it is frozen. But it's still water. Substance is water. So what is the essential quality of water to quench your thirst? The temperature may be cold, sometimes the temperature may be hot, but if it quenches your thirst, that is water. What if it does not quench your thirst? It looks like water, it is transparent, it is liquid, it is at normal temperature, but it won't satisfy your thirst, so it's not water. What is the essential quality of fire? Heat and light. Just some days back we were discussing with one devotee how when we cook something on a LPG flame, the taste is different from something that is cooked on a wooden flame. So then he was saying, or a cow dung flame. So this devotee was saying, on a cow dung flame, the flame is blue. And on a LPG flame, the flame is, you know, like yellowish. So that's why he said that, you know, the taste is different. So sometimes the light color may be different within two fires. But what is the essential quality of the fire? Heat and light. If it is hot, if it is light, yes. Sometimes there is... Imagine a fire that is not heating. It is giving you cold. So it's not fire. It's an illusion. So similarly, what is the essential quality of a servant? Is he always soft-spoken? Is it that somebody who will always be silent in front of his master, he is a good servant? Or is it that somebody who always bends down in front of the master physically, is he a good servant? What is the essential quality of a servant? So we can say the essential quality of a servant is his service attitude. And that service attitude can manifest in different ways. The security guard of this temple is serving the temple, but he has, you know, like a rough look on his face. He's not humble when he interacts with different people who enter the temple. But that roughness, that harsh look on his face is in service to the Supreme Lord, is in service to the temple management. What if somebody has backache and he never bends down physically? Does that disqualify him from being a good servant? No. So finally we understand, just like the essential quality of water is not its external characteristics, but its ability to quench thirst. Similarly, the essential quality of a servant is his service attitude, and it can manifest as per different situations in different ways. There is a story of one acharya in the Madhva Sampradaya called Vyasa Tirtha. So this Vyasa Tirtha, he was advisor to the king. One time there was some emergency and all the ministers and the army had gone to fight a war. And because of some difficult situation, maybe it was some physical illness or something, usually the king who would go for fighting stayed back. There was something he had to evaluate. And he was totally confused. So he went and wanted to refer to his guru, Vyasa Tirtha. So when he went to the ashram, because of a lack of his retinue, he went alone. And he had a word with his guru. They had a discussion. And then he came to a conclusion. And now he comes out of the ashram and he wants to go back to start fighting the war. So as he is climbing his horse, he is used to some of his servants giving some kind of a stool, a table, so that he can climb upon the horse. The king's horse is a very special horse. It's usually very tall. It's a very royal horse. You can't just jump and climb. But none of his servants, none of his personal assistants are there right there, because they have already gone to handle the emergency. So as he is thinking how to climb the horse now, because everyone else is in the renounced order, in the guru's ashram, suddenly somebody comes and puts his hands there. And the king is used to climbing the horse swiftly. So he steps on those two hands. Those two hands support him. And he climbs upon the horse. And then as he climbs upon the horse, it all happens very fast. It's very natural for a king to receive support for climbing the horse. But suddenly he remembers, but none of my servants are here. So who gave me his hand? And he looks there. It's a saffron shawl. Only sannyasis wear saffron in those days. So then he understands it is his guru who gave his hand quickly so that he could. So, you know, he's in a shock. So he says, Guru Maharaj, please, please, please forgive me. Please forgive me. Gets down. Offers, please forgive me. Why did you do this? So he says, actually, I am your servant. When you wanted advice from me, I served you in that way. But to fight a war, when you need to go and climb a horse, I will serve in this way. My attitude of a servant remains the same. We have the story of kings like Parikshit Maharaj, always moving around on a chariot, with a sword, with a nice bedecked crown. Always ready to fight a war. Against whom? Against the wrong people. So much that, so powerful, he can attack personified Kali. Just think about this. All of us are victims of Kali's, you know, amsha, amsha, amsha. You know. Little power of Kali and we are just dancing like puppets. Who can dare to think to accost Kali? But Parikshit Maharaj, in the mood of a servant, directly threatens Kali, and he also understands the confidence and the power with which he is speaking, I can't just deny him. And he says, please give me some place at least. He gives off his garb. So he feels threatened by Parikshit Maharaj. But what is the mood of Parikshit Maharaj? Parikshit Maharaj is an internal mood of a servant. So whether you are a saintly person or whether you are a king, if you are rooted in the mood of a servant, mood of servitude, things can be adjusted. There is a story of how one time there was a petty thief and he would steal from a farmer's farm. So one day he entered a farm where some new corn had come. And because he also wants to carry on the parampara to his child, so he's taking his child also for training. So he takes his child to the stealing activity. It's night time. And as they step into the farm, light footed, the father is looking in all directions, which means left, right, front, back. Softly stepping, gets into the farm, steals the corn. The child is watching, he's getting trained. And then when he comes out, you have a tendency to brag about it. So the father says, so how was it? So child said, you forgot to look in the upward direction. Yes. The innocence of the child, he was taught by some saintly person, God is always watching all of us at all the times. So that deep rooted conviction, he's telling his father, you forgot to look upwards. He was always watching you. You did not look there. So this is what is called as deep rooted conviction. And once that deep rooted conviction is there, you cannot be disturbed by any situation. So it is said, be the master of your will, but be the slave of your conscience. Yes, we decide what to do, but it is always under, you know, the supervision of what is right and what is wrong. Will it please Krishna? Yes, then I will do whatever is necessary, and that can be in a range. Trouble starts when we forget this service attitude. And demigods, many times they complain about this. In sixth canto, demigods are attacked by Vritrasura and they are praying to the Supreme Lord. So they are saying, Ya eka isho nijamaya yana. Ya eka isho. Actually, he is the controller. Who is speaking this? The Isha, the demigods themselves are saying, Ya eka isho. The controllers are saying, actually there is only one controller, that is the Supreme Lord. Nija maya yana, actually he creates us, sasarja, he creates us by his power, and then we anusrijama. So first he creates us, then by his empowerment we create the material world, sasarja, yena anusrijama vishvam. Vayam na yasya pi pura samahita, but even though puraha, he is there right in front of us. Pashyam lingam prithag ishamanina. Why don't we see him even though he is in front of us, even though he has created us, by his empowerment we create the Vishwa? Because we have this tendency to consider ourselves prithag ishamanina. We consider ourselves as independent controllers. These are demigods. When Chitraketu Maharaj is cursed by Parvati Devi, in that conversation, Lord Shiva speaks something similar. He says, my dear Devi, neither I, nor Brahma, nor Narad Muni, nor the four Kumaras, nor the Ashwini Kumaras, nor the greater family of demigods can ever understand the Supreme Lord. Why? Because all of us have a tendency to consider ourselves prithak isha manina. 10th canto, 14th chapter, Lord Brahma is offering prayers to the Supreme Lord. He says, my dear Supreme Lord, I am born from the mode of passion. That's why I always have the tendency to consider myself prithag isha manina. The demigods, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, they are always saying this. Many times we forget this because we consider ourselves as prithag isha manina. In fact, Lord Brahma says, there is one solution for this. What is that? He says, my dear Lord, he says, esho anukampyo mai nathavan iti. Actually, please remind me, or I want to tell you, that actually I am Nathvan. It means, I am not Anath, I am Sanath. So you are my master, but I keep forgetting that you are my master. And because I keep forgetting your master, I keep committing different mistakes. Let me never forget that you are my master. Which means, because we are touching the topic of service attitude. So service attitude will always be re-emphasized when we remember somebody is our master and we are his servant. Service can differ, but the mood cannot differ. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is one small incident that is mentioned. Sanatan Goswami has been imprisoned by Nawab Hussain Shah. His fault is that he was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Some devotees in the modern times, they always complain. There are, Prabhuji, there are many difficulties in our life. And we cannot hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. How many of us have been threatened by the government that will put you in a prison if you hear the Srimad Bhagavatam? Sanatan Goswami's fault was that he was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and that's why he was imprisoned in the prison. But he has a deep desire to meet Lord Chaitanya. So he thinks, I have to get out of here somehow. So first, he thinks of bribing the jailkeeper. So first he gives 5,000 gold coins. And then he tells, actually, you the jailkeeper, you are a living saint. He calls him Jinda Peer. Says, in your religion, actually he says in our religion, because he is pretending to be somebody of his religion. He says, actually if somebody wants to go to the holy place, and if you help him, you get very much spiritual credits. So he says, please help me because I want to go to that holy place. He's remembering Supreme Lord. Where Lord Chaitanya is there, the spiritual world. So he's saying, please help me, you'll get spiritual credits. This person is not ready to listen. He's saying, the king has imprisoned you personally. What if I get caught? I'll be slaughtered. So he says, okay, the price is less. I should give you more. So he takes out 2,000 more gold coins. So now it is 7,000 gold coins to get freedom from the jail. Bribery. Great souls cheat for a great cause. Then he also gives him an idea. He says, you can tell the king if he asks, in the morning time, to do my morning duties, you took me near a river and I just jumped into the river. King likes this idea. So three things, swartha and paramartha also. He is getting spiritual credits, he is getting money, and he also got an idea of how to report to the king. And Sanatan Goswami escapes from the king, from the prison. And now he is going on his way to Vrindavan. But then, you know, that area in between is Jharkhand. It is a forest area. So at night time, he reaches some kind of a hotel, boarding lodge. And the lodge owner is extra sweet in his dealings with him. Now, Sanatan Goswami has served as a finance minister to the king. He understands politics. He understands when people talk sweetly, there has to be some purpose behind it. So at night time in his room, he and his servant, he asks his servant, Ishan, do you have something with you? Still, because he already gave all his wealth, 7,000 gold coins to the jailkeeper. This person is talking very sweetly with us. So Ishan says, yes, actually I did not inform you, but I kept 7 gold coins with me. He did not tell his master. He should have told. Transparency. But he did not. So then he hands over the 7 gold coins to Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami immediately takes the 7 gold coins, goes to the lodge owner and gives it to him and says, this is something that we have. I thought I should give it to you. And the lodge keeper says, thank you so much for giving it voluntarily. If you had not given it voluntarily, today I had planned to kill both of you when you were sleeping. I could understand because your servant is behaving in a different way. He is protective about something. Sanatana Goswami understands this wealth is very dangerous. So he goes back to Ishan and he says, we were about to be killed because of your foolishness. But yes, I asked you and we got saved. And then in the morning, before they set out, he again asks Ishan, Ishan, do you still have something with you that you have not told me? Guess what? Ishan takes out 1 gold coin. And he said, yes, I didn't tell you this gold coin. Sanatan Goswami returns it to Ishan only, but he does one more thing. He tells Ishan, thank you very much for your services. Please return to Bengal. So here is Sanatan Goswami, an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya. And then later, you know, he is one of the closest servants of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya says, E sharire sadhimu ami bahu prayojan. So your body, Sanatan Goswami, is my tomara sharir, Prabhu kahe tomara sharir, amar pradhana sadhan. This is one of my most chief tools to get things done in this world. I have many, bahu prayojan, I have many things to do. And I am going to use your body, Sanatan Goswami. I am going to get things done through you. This Sanatan Goswami had a servant called Ishan who was not transparent with his master, and that's why he was, you know, snatched away the opportunity to have such high association because of keeping one gold coin. Just imagine the price that Ishan is paying for having attachment for one gold coin. If he would have been just transparent in service attitude, and he would have understood, he is my master, he should take decisions, I should not take decisions, I should just serve. He could have had the eternal association of Sanatana Goswami, and also through him, the eternal association of Lord Chaitanya. So sometimes, when the servant forgets, he is serving, he is accompanying Sanatana Goswami. It seems he is externally doing what a servant does, but internally he did not have that kind of transparency, he did not have that kind of submission to his master, and that's why he lost that chance for spiritual advancement. So, the more we remind ourselves of this, we may have different services in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, but we should never ever forget what is the essential quality of a servant. What is that? That servant mood. Lord Kapil, in the third canto, is telling, can I tell you something about my devotees? My devotees will not accept even personal liberation. Many times we deride impersonal liberation. Devotees are known to deride material sense gratification. Lord Kapil goes to the highest extent of saying, my devotees will not even accept the five kinds of liberation, including the four kinds of personal liberation. Diyamanam na grinanti, vina mat sevanam jana. My devotees will not accept personal liberation if it is devoid of a chance to serve me. So this is how important it is to serve the Supreme Lord. And if we lose that attitude, if we lose that chance to serve the Supreme Lord, even though we may be doing many, many things, but it won't be counted. What about sense gratification? Prahlad Maharaj says, my dear Lord, Narasingdev, I have very closely observed my father. My father had long life. My father had unlimited sense enjoyment. When my father would just raise his eyebrows, all the demigods would start trembling. And you know what? I saw that part of his life, and I also saw how you vanquished him thoroughly in a few moments. So he says, although you are offering me many material rewards, I am convinced of this fact. I do not want any material enjoyment. I saw it getting destroyed in a matter of moments. But I have a request for you. He says, please give me the contact of some of your pure devotee. A devotee who never forgets who he is, and a devotee who never forgets who you are. And give me a chance to serve that devotee. He does not say, give me a chance to serve you. Dhruva Maharaj does not say, give me a chance to serve you. He says, give me a chance to serve my original guru, Narad Muni, who guided me on this path. We were reading Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, and we were reading that section where Lord Chaitanya has just now returned to Navadvip from Gaya. So he is a changed person. Gone is that arrogance, gone is that fighting spirit with Gadadhar, argumentative spirit with Gadadhar. And you know, he tells his intimate associates, tomorrow we'll meet at Shuklambar Brahmachari's home. I want to tell you something. And some of his intimate, Mukunda Sanjay is there, Gadadhar is there. Gadadhar is, you know, he's afraid of Lord Chaitanya. So it is mentioned he's hiding behind in another room. But he does not know whether Lord Chaitanya is actually changed or not. He still feels fear from his heavy argumentative spirit. And Lord Chaitanya says, actually when I went to Gaya, it was a totally different atmosphere. He says, that place where the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu are there, they were very transforming. And thousands of Brahmanas are chanting the Vedic mantras there. And there I saw Ishwarapuri, and it had a very transforming effect on me. So he's describing. And as he describes, suddenly he falls on the floor. He's crying. So Vrindavanda Thakur, he mentions how the crying of Lord Chaitanya that day, this is the first time when Lord Chaitanya is crying, remembering Lord Krishna and the visit to Gaya. It is mentioned, actually he watered the garden of flowers there in Shuklambar Brahmachari's home. Pushpavane. That garden, the soil became wet by the tears of Lord Chaitanya. We are seeing heavy rains nowadays and the ground is wet. Lord Chaitanya's tears wetted. And this news goes to Shachi Mata. So that afternoon, when Shachi Mata serves him food, she serves rice, and then it is mentioned she puts some ghee, and then with tulsi flowers on top of that rice. And seeing that, Shachi Mata asks him, "So Nimai, I heard that you are talking something different nowadays. What are you talking about?" And Nimai again starts speaking, "I have realized so many years I have wasted my life. Actually, I should have spent time with the devotees. Actually, I should have spent time trying to understand." So usually in devotee circle, we talk about prema ashru. We talk about tears of love, tears of ecstasy. Here we see paschatap ashru. These are the tears of repentance. So many times when we hear about Lord Chaitanya dancing in the Rath Yatra and he's crying like a syringe, the tears are coming out of syringe. But we should always remember, before we, any one of us, aspire for a prema ashru, it is better if we pray for paschatap ashru. Somebody in deep happiness also cries and somebody in deep pain also cries. Now, you know, first, at least there should be some repentance in our lives. So many days passed, so many opportunities lost, I never took devotional service seriously. Where is the hope of attaining prema if there is no anartha nivritti? And where is the question of anartha nivritti if there is no sadhu sangha? So we have sadhu sangha, but we neglect sadhu sangha, and we neglect the anartha nivritti chance that is offered by sadhu sangha, and then we are hoping for something like bhava and prema. No, it's a process given by Rupa Goswami. So, you know, we keep hearing about prema ashru, but we can pray for paschatap ashru. So Lord Chaitanya is expressing deep feelings of repentance to Shachi Mata. "I should not have done this. Actually, Lord Krishna is the prime object of service." And then he speaks one very nice shloka, which we wanted to quote here. He says, "Ebekara Krishna hena dasya yoga diya, charane rakha dasi nandana kariya." I really like this words, Dasi Nandan. He says, "Ebe kara Krishna, dasya yogadiya." My dear Lord Krishna, I just have one request for you. Please always keep me in the mood of a servant. And we are discussing the mood of a servant today. But how is that mood of servant manifested? He speaks in the next line. Charane rakha. Always keep me near your feet. Dasi Nandan kariya. Please keep me as the son of your maid servant. And then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, in his purport to that shloka, mentions, actually, you know, sometimes a servant, when he serves a master, he has a relationship with the master, is it not? So many times the master will not emphasize and re-emphasize, especially when we are talking of an ideal master like the Supreme Lord or his pure representatives. The pure devotees of the Lord never emphasize, "I am your master, you should serve me." They will speak indirectly. Many times the spiritual master will speak, "It is good for the disciple to serve the spiritual master." Who is speaking? Spiritual master. To whom? Disciple. So he will not say, "It is good for you to serve me." It's very difficult. So Krishna will also say, "Aham sarvasya prabhavo, matta sarvam pravartate, iti matva bhajante mam, budha bhava samane." Those who are intelligent know that I am the source. Essentially he is telling you and me, that you become intelligent and you should serve me. Bahunam janmanam ante gyanavan mam prapade, vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sudurlaba. To whom he is telling? To us. You become a mahatma by serving me. But Krishna and his devotees find it very difficult to speak this direct second person talk. They will always talk in third person. So similarly, here it is mentioned, because of a close relationship between the master and the servant, the master, a good master, a real master, will never emphasize and re-emphasize, "You need to serve me. You should always serve me. You should always have pure service attitude." Sanatana Goswami also did not do that to Ishan. But the son of the maid servant will always emphasize to her son, "Dekha, ye hamare sahab hai. Ye hamari malkin hai. Inke saamne hamesha awaaz niche rakhna." Is it not? Because of long service, sometimes it also happens. You know, sometimes I have observed in rich families, they have a servant who has served that family for 30 years, 40 years, and the servant is almost seen as a daughter or a son by the family. There is so much trust, there is so much faith. For all practical dealings, they are
like a son and a daughter. So actually, in their behavior, if you see their behavior, sometimes you'll be perplexed. Is he your master? Is he your servant? Or is he your son? The kind of, you know, you sometimes give your the keys of your home to him and like that. Yes, we have observed sometimes. So the servant, the master is behaving like an ideal servant. No, don't worry, I trust you. But in such a case, the servant also behaves like an ideal servant. And servant, although he reciprocates with the trust of the master, but he always passes on the training to her son or his son. Please do not misunderstand the dealings between me and my master. They are very friendly. But ek baat yaad rakhna, ye hamare malik hai, ye hamari malkin hai, aur hum inke sevak hai. Is it not? So Lord Chaitanya says, dasi nandan kariya. Similarly, when sometimes we have seen some people in this world that directly try to approach the Supreme Lord, they become too close. In technical terms, we call such people as sahajiya. What are sahajiya? They chant Hare Krishna. They chant Radhe Radhe. They are always dancing in ecstasy. But they will not ever serve the devotees. And that's why many times in their own misconceptions that are within the Vedic fold, they cause utpat. They cause a lot of serious trouble. They misguide people. They break the faith of people. So it's very important to always have this mood of service, and especially not service directly to the master, but dasi nandana kariya. Dhruva Maharaj is saying, Prahlad Maharaj is saying. One time, there was a conflict between a husband and a wife. And then they thought they should approach somebody. So they went to a marriage counselor. Now in the absence of a father, a spiritual master, somebody to trust, what can you do? You have to purchase trust. So you go to a marriage counselor, pay him some money for 1 hour of counseling, and then tell him we have some conflicts. So usually a marriage counselor, he talks separately and then he talks together. So first he talks with the husband and he says, so what's happening? And then he gives some incidents where they had a conflict, they had a misunderstanding. And then he says, you know what? Actually, I don't have any love for my wife in my heart. So the counselor, he hears it and says, yes. He speaks a few words and then he says, so my humble advice to you is, today evening when you go to your home after office, you should do something to love your wife, to express your love to your wife. Maybe speak a few words of appreciation. Maybe give her a flower, purchase something that she likes, something you do. And then immediately she said, you know what? I don't have any emotions left in my heart for my wife. She says, okay. Then again, there's some conversation, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Then again he says, I have one recommendation for you. Today evening when you go home, please love your wife. Please express your love for your wife. And then immediately he says, you know what? Actually, I don't have any love left in my heart for my wife. He says, okay. Again, there is some conversation. Again, he says, so my humble advice to you is, today evening when you go home, do something to love your wife. He says, you know what? Actually, I don't have any emotions. Then this counselor says, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Because you don't have any emotions in your heart, I am giving you a method by which you can raise those emotions in your heart by doing something that is similar to what a person does when he has emotions. So there is a person who has emotions, he'll regularly thank his wife. He'll regularly speak sweetly with his wife. You don't have those emotions, do something by which those emotions will be created. Sound similar? Prabhupada would regularly give this example that in the previous days, a young girl would be married to a young boy. But she would not stay with the husband. She would stay with her parents and on a weekend, probably on a holiday, visit the husband and express some activity. So she will serve something to the husband. And then she is saying, I don't have any love for him. That age is pre any feelings. The body is not ready, the mind is not ready. It is just some child's play. The child is told, go take these sweets and serve him. So she goes and gives. She is shy. She does not even know who he is. But by regularly serving, yes, at the right age, when the body becomes ready, when the mind becomes ready, then she knows, he is the person whom I have served for the last 3, 4, 5 years. So he is my husband. And once this bond is made, then it lasts lifelong. Then there is no need of marriage counseling. So same advice which was given free of cost by our mother and father now is has to be given by the marriage counselor. My humble advice to you is, today evening when you go home, do something to express your love. And then we keep refuting it by saying, but I don't have any love. Why are we discussing this? Well, we are also discussing relationships between a servant and a master. When we hear of Dhruva Maharaj, my dear Supreme Lord, I don't want to serve you. Give me the association of your pure devotee so that I can serve him. Prahlad Maharaj is saying, Lord Chaitanya is saying, one voice that comes from the rebellious mind is, but my dear Prabhu, these are very pure personalities. Where is Dhruva Maharaj? Where is Prahlad Maharaj? Where is Lord Chaitanya after having returned from Gaya? I am an ordinary conditioned soul, conditioned by the three modes. I never have any feelings of service attitude. Give me something practical. This is something practical. If you don't have enthusiasm, act enthusiastic. It starts from your external body and then slowly at the right time, when you see the unique qualities of the spiritual master, when you see how he is dedicated in his own heart to serving the Supreme Lord, say, he is serving his spiritual master. He is also serving the Supreme Lord. It means it behooves me. It is good for me to serve him also in a very sincere way. We'll discuss how in one incident, because just recently was International Holy Name Week. So we were reading in Prabhupada's Leela, when did the first public Harinam Sankirtan happen? I wanted to check. What was the situation at that time? So this is the time when Srila Prabhupada has a few followers in 22nd Avenue. And many times they keep arguing. It is described that in those classes, sometimes, suddenly one boy woke up. He rose up. He stood up and said, Swamiji, I am not ready to sit in these classes and hear all your philosophy. I just want to go out on the beach and run and breathe in fresh air. And Swamiji says, so do it. Do it. And he never expected such a response. Yes. The whole thing was to gather attention from your friends. The whole thing was to defy Swamiji. And Swamiji said, so do it. Who's stopping you? And this boy suddenly, quietly sat down and heard the rest of the class. One day Swamiji said, actually we should chant loudly. Now enough of this japa, soft chanting. We should take kirtan and we should do. So one of the devotees said, but Prabhupada, all those people who are outside that 22nd Avenue, it was like a shop on the street. But all of them are drunkards. Swamiji immediately replied, their body may not hear, the drunken body may not hear, but the soul will hear and benefit. You're taken aback. So Swamiji is not just in an external mood of chanting Hare Krishna. He's in a deep contemplative mood. The body may not hear, but the soul will hear. So some of these answers given by Swamiji, they touched the hearts of his followers. And in this way, slowly Swamiji raised the standards very fast actually. Classes were evening classes. Then suddenly one day Swamiji said, actually we should have a morning program. So he said, morning program? What is morning program? We never woke up in the morning. Swamiji said, no, we should have a morning program. And he pushed it, morning program. Then one day Swamiji said, you know what? Lord Chaitanya gave public Harinam Sankirtan. So I want to have a public Harinam Sankirtan. All the boys started looking here and there. So publicly, we'll never go out in public and we'll never chant. Who wants to chant in public? Kaise to mar mar ke hum log yahan kar rahe kuch to. On Sunday, Swamiji said, okay, today is the day we are going out. Somebody looked here, one person got up, they said, okay, if he is going, I'll also go. Looking at these two, the third one got up. So it is described, roughly there were 10 people that day for the first public Harinam Sankirtan in the Western world ever, which Lord Chaitanya predicted. And Swamiji, whoever came, nobody came, it's okay. Swamiji did not convince. He's on his way. And he started straight going to the Washington Square Park. This is in New York. So some people, Keith Ham, his name is Keith Ham, later he became Kirtanandan Swami. He's the only one who's wearing a dhoti. Everyone else does not want to wear a dhoti to attract public attention. And as they are walking, it is mentioned, somebody who's driving a car stopped the car and said, you forgot to take off your bed sheet. The saying is, you forgot to take off your bed sheet. Somebody was making some offensive comments at Swamiji also. But Swamiji was not even listening. Swamiji was just going straight. And all these followers, they saw Swamiji is committed. So they kept following Swamiji. They reached Washington Square Park. So now there are these roads winding in Washington Square Park, and there is a lot of grass that is also built nicely. And on one such patch of grass, there is a sign that reads, "Keep off the grass." It means don't sit here. Swamiji, with all his 10 followers, went right there, looked at the sign, and sat next to the sign. And all his followers are again looking at each other. So what's going to happen now? But seeing his dedication, they also sat down there. It is mentioned there was a sailor just next to that group, and he was smoking a cigarette. He took a cigarette and he just, you know, put it off. He was just so shocked, you know, who are these Indians in some strange attire? And he said, "What the hell is this?" These are verbatim words. "What the hell is this?" He got disturbed. And so many youngsters who were sitting there, they got disturbed. It was like encroachment. They were doing what they wanted to do. Typically in those days, what youngsters would do. And here is somebody in saffron, a monk, and he has 10 followers, and he sits next to "keep off the grass" sign. He takes out his symbols. One person took out a bongo drum, and they started chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. In 2 minutes, it is noted that a police came. And the police said, "Who is the leader here? What will the boys do?" They did not want to take responsibility. Everyone says, "Swami, Swami, Swami, he is everyone." So the police go to Swamiji and say, "What does the sign say?" Swamiji looks at the sign, gets up, walks over to the road, and sits on the warm tar road. Anybody, Haigriyu Maharaj has noted this. And Satsurup Maharaj has noted the first incident, the first public Harinam Sankirtan. Both of them have noted in the diary, actually that pavement was hot. And Swamiji, because of his commitment, he just got up from here and sat on the hot pavement. And everyone was shell-shocked that Swamiji, old person, can sit on the hot tar road. And Swamiji just got up, sat there and started chanting Hare Krishna. It did not interrupt it even for a moment or so. And all the 10 boys noted this, and it just went deep into their heart. Swamiji is not into externals. Swamiji has a deep sense of commitment to somebody higher. He always keeps talking about his Guru Maharaj. "My Guru Maharaj wanted preaching to happen." He always keeps talking, "Lord Chaitanya wanted this public Harinam to go on." So then they understand whatever Swamiji is teaching us is not what he wants to teach us. It's not his personal opinion. It is parampara opinion. And when they saw certain things about Swamiji like this, that is what convinced so many of his followers to follow Swamiji in a selfless way. So, in 3.29.12, the word that is used is avyavahita. This is that famous shloka where Kapil Dev speaks to Devahuti about how the Ganga river flows straight to the ocean without any impediment. And Prabhupada in the purport describes avyavahita or ahetuki apratihata. Apratihata word, avyavahita. He says there are two meanings of the word avyavahita. One meaning, he says, is without cessation, which is the normal meaning that we understand. Without stopping. Apratihata means without stopping, continuous. And then he gives another meaning of the word avyavahita. He says, avyavahita also means the interest of the devotee and the Lord is the same. In that sense, it is uninterrupted. Same interest. So when we understand this avyavahita, that it is not just physical stopping, but it is also mood uninterrupted. That means externally, we have to be always engaged in service, which sometimes the demigods do, sometimes the demigods don't do. But also it means internally, we should be situated in the true interest of the spiritual master and true interest of the Supreme Lord. And it is this service attitude which makes Vyas Tirtha Vyas Tirtha, it makes Parikshit Parikshit. And it is this attitude which is, if absent, makes Ishan Ishan. So if we remember this, then we'll always be externally in the mood of a devotee or a servant, internally in the mood of a servant. I'll just speak one translation, which is the translation that Indra speaks to Vritrasura. So there's a long fight going on, and Vritrasura is repeatedly urging Indra, fight, fight. And one point of time he says, you know what? Actually, I am just doing my duty. I don't hope to win this war, because as predicted by the Supreme Lord, my hands are already cut, my weapons are already gone. I am sure to lose, but it is just to carry out the will of the Supreme Lord that I am fighting. And when this mood is exhibited by Vritrasura, who is a Vaishnava, Indra speaks one translation. He speaks one shloka. I'll read the translation and we'll end with that. So this is Indra speaking. O great demon, aho danava siddhosi. O great demon, I see by your discrimination and endurance in devotional service, despite your dangerous position, that you are a perfect devotee of Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul, and a friend of everyone. So I like these two words. How does he recognize that he is a Vaishnava? He says, by your endurance and by your discrimination. So endurance is avyavahita, outside. Endurance, he kept on fighting. And discrimination is internally always choosing what is right, what is anukul, and rejecting what is pratikul. So I really liked, I checked the shloka. The original shloka does not have these two words. Prabhupada puts his devotional ecstasies in that translation and says, oh, by your endurance and discrimination I can understand you are a perfect Vaishnava. So these are the qualities of a perfect Vaishnava. Internally aligned with the mood of the spiritual master, always being in the mood of a sevak, and also externally always busy, 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 uninterrupted service to the spiritual master and through the spiritual master to the Supreme Lord. So these are a few things that we thought we should discuss with the current incident where the demigods are being corrected by the Supreme Lord. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai. Anant Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai.